The precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi saha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into tall consciousness. suffering is more important than anything. We will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall we look at this morning?
I've been enjoying the just how the different mirrors that life puts up allow us to see so many different things. And so we're experiencing some extreme heat right now here, weather-wise. And what that's really highlighted for me is a whole bunch of beliefs that just kind of go around unquestioned. Because what I notice, of course, is that everything slows down, at least for me, right? There's just, the dogs slow down, I slow down. It's not the time to tackle scrubbing the porch down, just all kinds of things like that. And what I notice with that is, it's like somehow just living isn't enough. There's like this sense that almost, because what I saw was, we'll just wait this out. And so that we can get back to when it's time to, really clean the ha-ha and do the ha-ha, but it's just not the time now because we've just got to wait this out.
Yeah.
And it's so funny to see that because, of course, there's sort of this, again, unexamined assumption that these things are important and these things aren't. And yet, what's so interesting is that all of it is just about living. I don't really know how else to say that, but even the most seemingly important national, it's nothing other than existing.
Yeah.
Right? It's all in service of just eating and drinking and sleeping and being alive and and so it's just so fun how something as simple as an extreme weather pattern can mirror that.
Yes.
And bring that up.
It sounds like you're pointing to a sort of artificial distinction that gets made between what is really living and what is just sort of idling until we can get back to really living. And the mirror of the extreme heat, where you notice everything slows down, kind of triggered that thought of, well, we'll just wait this out. So then we can really get this done or do this project or, implied get back to really living. And that there's an appreciation for that reflection, whereas it comes in various ways in most recently, or notably this extreme heat or extreme weather of any sort that seems to reveal that, that assumption or that belief that was there.
Mm-hmm. It's helpful too when it doesn't, when it's not short.
Yeah.
Because then there's sort of the, oh, it's that place that, what if it was always going to be like this?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Because somehow in the surrender to it, there's just that, oh, this is life.
Yeah.
Right? This is life. And that, it's almost like, I just, it flew through as you were reflecting that, like, we have it flip-flopped. That, you know, yeah, I eat and I drink, and I, but that, so that I can do, you know, whatever, run for governor, or like, right? But like, it's opposite. We have government, and we have, so that we can eat and sleep and drink and, you know, grow our vegetables, and it's almost like it's flip-flop.
Yeah.
And that when we get down to the basics, well, that is living. That really is living. And yeah, we do all this other stuff too, because we're a bunch of humans, and you know, we need to negotiate together, and we're sharing the same planet, and you know, there's all the stuff that we do for that. But that, just the basics of waking up in the morning, and you know, whatever, making your food and drinking water, and
it is such a wonderfully mind-blowing experience to see. Oh, we've got it flip-flopped. It's so the proverbial cart before the horse. Mm-hmm. The cart, the horse is supposed to pull the cart, not the cart is supposed to exist for the horse.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it's like we think that this thing, you know, that whatever, in this, you know, this example of government, is the point. Mm-hmm. But really, the point is life. The point is just living. We get up in the morning, we eat, we breathe, we get to inhabit these bodies, we get to live.
Mm-hmm.
We get to live. And all of these other things that have been put in place are to support that, because there's all kinds of things to negotiate and to work out and all of that, so that people can, or that things, everything can live.
Mm-hmm.
And to get that right perspective, priority, whatever, that, you know, get it in the right order, it really does put the attention on that process of simply living.
Yeah, I mean, it's an invitation to be present.
An invitation to be present.
Yeah, to just do what is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that there's a way in which, you know, those rhythms of life really invite us. Like, I noticed yesterday, I went and laid down at a time I would never go lay down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's just, oh, it's an invitation for that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then when it's freezing cold, you know, it's an invitation to get cozied up in the whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Lie down again, but really woke up.
Maybe sit up, huddled in the
Yeah, whatever. And you know that thing that you're pointing to about being appropriate to the moment?
Yeah.
It is so big.
Appropriate and receiving.
And receiving,
you know,
the moment.
Yeah,
receptive
the
to the moment, or the receiving the guidance of the moment, however we want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it just occurred to you, I can project, to lie down at a time when it would normally does not, because there's just, because
we're going to go do the thing on the phone and organize the blah blah.
Or because that's not being offered in that moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you did it and got to see, oh, what that experience is like.
Mm-hmm.
That was really helpful. It reminds me of how we often talk about recontextualizing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could see, in regards to the content of the heat, there's kind of two, there's the story about it, and then there's my experience of it. And that conversation really brought me to the experience,
uh-huh.
which is, I feel a lot more in my body. It was highlighting how often, when there's not something extreme temperature-wise, I just take a lot of things for granted, like the air around me,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
like, or I can just do this thing whenever I feel like it,
yeah.
as opposed to, well, there's actually only about 1 hour in the morning where you're permitted just going to be under 90
degrees.
Not going
to do this thing when it's 106.
Yeah, yeah, and then it's not even a good or bad thing, it's just, well, that's just kind of the thing, and so let's be aware of that, so you have a choice.
Yes.
You know, because I do want to take care of my hermitage, or I do want to take care of that thing for the monastery.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're describing a place of expanded awareness that includes more than just when I would normally do it or when I would want to do it or whatever, but kind of a taking into account a lot of factors that life then can orchestrate.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So the other place of expanded awareness that I'm called to is I'm in some roles of power and then concierge, which is trying to keep the buildings cool. And I just noticed walking around, it's becoming a regular practice that the awareness is expanded to kind of know what is actually on, withdrawing power around the monastery right now as I walk through buildings, like literally just cueing into how does that feel on my skin.
Uh-huh.
You know, not watching people, but being aware, are people bringing coats into the, you know, into the hall, or do they, you know, just that. It's like sensing the information that's always there, but I think I wouldn't really be in touch with because I'd be up in the head in a conversation that has nothing to do with what's going on right now.
And because you have that role, in a way you're required, or there's that opportunity then to practice that place of expanded awareness for those roles, because there's a lot of them. And so you can feel yourself attuning to a lot more details, a lot more input, sensory and intuitive, perhaps, input that you might not otherwise be attuned into.
And it's interesting because all that input, in a way, is sort of content for the process of expanding the awareness, having the attention on that larger awareness rather than on the conversation in the head.
It goes right back to that point, doesn't
it?
Keeping the you know, appropriate perspective. Like, so it's not that, okay, I've got this role, I've got to do it perfectly, or this is what is going to define me. No, it's all in service of waking up and ending something.
Yeah.
It's all in service of, now I get to use this to expand awareness.
Yeah.
Maybe next month I'll get to do something else, and someone else will get to use this as expanding awareness.
Yeah.
But that's the point.
Yeah, gosh, it's just so fun to talk about because the awareness is building as I'm talking. Mm-hmm. But even just that taking it out of just me, like noticing just that awareness when I'm passing the animals, the dogs and the cats, and just taking in, I mean, it's not really like I'm taking it in.
Yeah.
But life's just taking information about, like, their posture. And, you know, did they eat their whole meal? And where are they? Where, you know, is there water?
How full is their water?
Where have I seen all the cats? You know, just...
Yeah.
And it's not a... That certainly could come from another place.
Yep.
Worrying, taking care of. And it's not. It's a very relaxed place.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really sort of counter to, you know...
Yeah.
It would be like the story would be, oh, I've just got to da da da, and I got to make sure, da 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 da.
Yeah.
But it's not effortful at all. And even like that, again, the difference between the experience and the story, it's like, well, the hall needs to be closed up early, so I'm not going to sleep in on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And that would normally be such a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I feel so grateful to be up and about, be alive, you know, be a part of the cooler air. And it starts to feel like the fans and the swamp coolers that are on right now, like I'm just an instrument that life's using to orchestrate whatever needs to happen here on the monastery grounds.
Yeah, it's such an important distinction that you're pointing out for us all, that there's it's really kind of like the not what but how, in the sense that if you were a me, an I who is taking care of the hall or the animals or whatever, you could get twisted into a knot of, well, they're okay, you know, have I seen them all today? Is Pacha looking a little peaked? Or is what's going on? You know what? You know, and you could just, what a place of suffering because it's the I that is doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But as you described it, it sounds like the any border of an I is dissolved. And it's just, okay, I am an instrument.
Yeah.
And so I get to, you know, be aware of everything, being a contribution, being a part of it, being an instrument of life to serve in all of these ways that are entirely appropriate because this is what's here and now.
Yeah, and then I'm available to life dropping in the information.
Yeah.
of something that may actually be helpful to this creature or to, yeah. or to the community. Yeah. Whereas if I was in that first one, it's such a pseudo caring that yeah. nobody, including this person, really gets taken care of. Not available
yeah.
to anything that might drop in or an awareness that someone else may benefit from.
Yeah, because the point of reference is that is an ego conversation.
Exactly.
Not what is appropriate in the moment. As like what dropped in around the hall, like, okay, I'm going to have to close up the hall early this morning so I can't sleep in.
Yeah.
So, you know, if that were taken over by ego, it would have been a whole big story about me or whatever. But instead, it was just really good, useful information that is a benefit to everyone that Scott got to participate in making happen for the whole community.
Yeah, and just seeing that trading the lead for gold,
mm-hmm.
you know, place again.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I'd like it to have it this way because it's most comfortable for me and this is easier and serves the identity to feel like I'm helping and da 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 da. But to turn all that over and just receive the complete privilege of being alive and being guided.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I just want, it's such a, what dropped in as you said that, I get to feel like I'm helping. So it's like I get to either feel like I'm helping or I get to actually be helpful.
All right.
I either get the lead or the gold.
Finny. I had this very interesting experience last week that was a chance to discern between the conversation and just noticing. So, this very bizarre thing happened where a person I know was reported missing. And it came up on some my partner's Facebook, this poster with this person, missing person. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And it was in the evening. And this person and I work on an event together that's actually happening next Saturday. So what arose, of course, was, first of all, how could that have happened? What could have happened? All the conversation, all the scenarios that get played out about what are the ways in which a person who's out in the wilderness could be missing?
Mm-hmm.
But also noticing, just having the opportunity, and the good news is there was no problem, she was found. I mean, she wasn't found, she was never lost. Someone was being really helpful.
Uh-huh.
And saw her leave and didn't see her come back. And,
oh, my goodness.
So anyway, that's the good news. Yeah, but so that evening, anyway, it was just so interesting to notice the difference between simply noticing that there are implications and, oh my God, how's this about me? And watching conditioning in every instance try to make her disappearance about this person. And having the chance to say, to discern, well, yeah, there are going to be some changes made, or this does have implications for Saturday, for tomorrow, for... and that has nothing to do with me. It's so interesting. So it was I mean, I'm not sure I would be sitting here celebrating the opportunity quite as happily if she hadn't been found. I'm glad she was found. But it was like everything else, it was just such a chance to see authenticity arise, just awareness arise, information drop in, and conditioning try to insert itself. And how anytime we try to insert itself, it was clear that there was no real concern for her. Even though there was a lot of conversation about, oh my gosh, do you know?
Yes. Oh, it is such a, those priceless opportunities when we really get to see conditioning in all of its itsness, you know, what it really is. And from a place of distance enough to get it, that it's not about you. I mean, that is such a priceless moment, right? To get to see it. Because we get to see, okay, you got to see how it made it, it was trying to make it about you. How is this going to affect me? You got to see how it doesn't have any concern for her, for the actual person. You got to see how absent of any kind of love or any real concern or any real anything there is. And you got to watch its whole process, from the scenarios to the what about me to how the, and then it sounds like kind of arising also with all of that was the awareness that was seeing what actually is so, that, well, yeah, it does have some ramifications. You noticed what happened in the body, you know, the heart, you know, you saw that You know, it was just, it's just a what it sounds like you're describing is the arising of everything that's real in information and everything that's false, and making it about what something else.
Yes, and you made a distinction a minute ago that, you know, between actually being helpful and being the person who's helping. Mm-hmm. And it was the same kind of thing, like there was real concern for her. Mm-hmm. And then there was the attempt to be someone, conditioned attempt to make me someone who is concerned about her. And just seeing it, just seeing those are different worlds.
Yeah.
And being very grateful to just have that opportunity to just notice those differences.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if this is what you're pointing to, but it can engender a lot of compassion for not having that gap.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When you can see, like, ooh, I could see how we usually get sucked into that being helpful, and next thing you know, you're listing somebody missing that's not, you know, and all of that. And it's like, oh, my God. No, you know, and because then going to a place of self-hate and all that is just reinforcing that same ugly system. Mm-hmm. But to see that gap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one other thing I was going to say. There was another, it's just an instance of getting how, in the midst of a pretty dramatic experience, it's possible to miss the entire experience.
In the midst of a pretty dramatic experience, it's possible to miss the entire experience.
Because conditions have an experience. Well, it's not having an experience. Mm-hmm. Condition is talking about the experience, and that's the experience that you're actually having.
Well, that's such a good point. So here's something big and dramatic that's happening. And when my attention is not on the step back place and the larger the expanded awareness, but sucked into the conditioned place, I'm not having the experience at all. I'm only experiencing this little spun story of what they're saying about a person being missing, or extreme heat, or extreme weather, or whatever. And it's just all such an ego spin.
Yeah, I think about Sherry saying, you know, the things we think happen probably actually didn't happen.
Yeah.
Ego was experiencing them and telling us about them. So anyway, it was just, I felt very grateful once again for the opportunity to just see that distinction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the gratitude that you're expressing, it is resonating with what I'm projecting, is the gratitude to have the ability to practice with something like that, mm-hmm. in that way where it all is so clear.
Yeah, just one other piece of it too. The other thing was not only watching conditioning trying to say what the experience was, but then watching it try to do that setup where, so this thing that's happening a week from now, I'm going to make most of the refreshments. Mm-hmm. So one of the things came up was, well, I'm going to have to make the refreshments. Mm-hmm. And then watching that turn into, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Here's a person missing me. I mean, I just watched it. It was like watching a little drama play out. It was funny. It was like watching a little drama play out to the side.
Yeah.
And it's true. If she was missing me, I probably wouldn't be missing her. That's a piece of information.
Yeah. And so here's the ego who brings up this whole kind of point and then has an argument with itself.
And then the self-hate about it. It's so absurd.
Ooh, it's
creepy,
like ego spin on ego spin.
Yeah, ego spin. Thank you.
Thank you. So funny.
Wow. That ego spin on what's happening. Yesterday we had the Zoom call with Ken Palumbo. It was so, well, for me, it was just incredibly heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. It still is opening my heart. And so I watched during the whole call that ego spin, mm-hmm. you know? There was just that whole conversation going about, well, how is this going to be received by people that are new to practice, or, you know, people that are involved in, you know, just that whole ego thing going on, trying to interpret what other people, what are the other people's experience is going to be at the call. Mm-hmm. And yet the whole time, there's this whole other experience going on of just the heart being open, mm-hmm. and just receiving the gift of that call. Mm-hmm. And I just noticed this happening a lot lately. Mm-hmm. You know, these two parallel experiences, the ego experience and then the authentic experience. Uh-huh. And how often, for how long, I just thought that ego experience was my experience. Uh-huh. You know, and just took it as my own. Uh-huh. And to just now have that through practice, just being able to see that, wow, that is, has nothing to do with what us authentically being experienced.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I think part of what just, a couple of things, I think what just, you know, as much as I'm aware of, part of what moved me is just the Living Compassion team in Africa, and just realizing Living Compassion team. I mean that we're all...
We share the same last name.
It's all the same community. I mean, you know, they're Living Compassion on the ground in Africa. We're Living Compassion on the ground. You know, they are cooking in Chima. Right after that, we went to cook. I don't know what it was, but, you know, I just... Mm. It was just...
Not near as much.
Not near as much, although sometimes it feels like
that. Good on that,
yeah. But, just seeing the parallels in our lives, and just... That was amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so the... You know, so... The place that you described of having the experience of the heart being open, truly open, to receiving all the goodness and all the oneness and all of the love, and recognizing that simultaneous track of questioning, well, how's this going to be received? Or how are people in new practice going to be hearing this? And all of those other things, that those could actually be there simultaneously. Mm-hmm. That there was a time that you thought that one track was you.
Yeah.
That actually you could have the open heart experience and know that you are bigger than what you are is life, and bigger than, and hold it all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very interesting experience.
Yeah, and that oneness sort of translates then into what you're describing with the two teams. You're across the two different continents, but really the same work, the same name, the same even type of work, the cooking and all of that.
Yeah.
And we're just all so one.
Yeah, that place of non-separation. Mm-hmm. And just a word about doing.
About doing?
About doing. Uh-huh. I could so relate to the conversation, and that's part of what, we were talking on the call from Cantaloma about people sitting in the yard and having tea and talking, you know, and how that tends not to happen so much here in this culture. And I was just projecting that, yeah, there's a lot, they do, but there's a lot more openness for non-doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I happen to be reading the book that Ashwini and Sherry wrote. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. The book on resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And going through that whole list of resistant behaviors. Well, one of the resistances is that book got put on the shelf and didn't get pulled out for quite a while to look at. And to just go through those behaviors and see, oh my gosh.
Got it.
Ego. It's just, And being so aware of how doing is just, wow, such a major player in all of that, as how resistance shows up.
So make that connection, how doing is...
Constant doing.
Is what keeps you... from seeing that the resistance to these other...
Well, no, it's just one of the forms of resistance that shows up quite often and keeps... Yeah.
So I got to keep doing.
And it's not seen as a form of resistance.
As a resistance to just
presence.
Being with whatever life may be dropping in.
Yeah. It just seems so...
It's a nice distraction.
So important.
Yeah.
You know, this doing. And I was just seeing that, you know, why not in meditation. The the form that the mind takes, the abstractive form that comes in for the mind most often is doing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, well, as soon as we're done here, mm-hmm. I've got this to take care of and that to take care of, and then we're going to do this, and you know, and
it, isn't that so,
you know, and we'll coordinate it this way, you know, and then it's like, no, one, two, uh-huh. You know, back to the breath, and yeah, it just seems like such a virtuous, without examination, it seems like a virtuous habit.
Yeah, well, so this goes back to the point Jim was making,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
That it's so virtuous to want to, okay, we want to get this done, and we got this project, and then we can do this, and then something like the heat, or something meditation on the schedule, you know?
Yeah.
And we sit down, and that place that you said, well, as soon as we're done here, we can, you know, it's like, how ludicrous. It's like that's okay, well, as soon as the temperatures drop,
right.
And get back to, you know.
As soon as I'm dead, we'll... We'll get back to it. Right.
Yeah, and just see it and say it and laugh at it. Oh, it's like that distance.
So anyway, I just want to take a cue from my brothers and sisters in Africa and sit down on the ground and have a cup of tea with my neighbors, you know.
Yeah.
Like, wow. The gifts they have to give are many.
Yes.
And that just seems another.
Yeah. I like their point about they don't have electricity, so when the sun goes down,
they go down.
When the sun comes up, they go up. Like, no, we could learn a lot from them.
That too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cameron.
This conversation about the two ways or more to experience a situation from center and from identification. I just kind of hit a kind of a meltdown place here very recently, and went to do the two-handed exercise to reveal it at a deeper level what was really going on. And it felt like there were actually three tracks that were going down, you know, towards somewhere, we don't know. And it kind of felt like every time we get to a platform, a train platform, somebody would get off, and somebody else would get on, and then it would be a train towards another destination.
Uh-huh.
So these were different three aspects of the person who had different feelings or different karmic orientations toward this practice activity that keeps throwing big brick walls in front of the being.
Uh-huh.
And so it was so good, though, because what I saw was, I think, kind of like a really, really deep layer of conditioning, self-hate, whatever, that is so not okay that it just keeps being pushed into the background and doesn't actually get heard. And so I had the experience that we talk about with that particular activity, the two-handed, in giving an aspect, an opportunity to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it was amazing because I felt so, the experience was just of being blocked. And of being like, I just have to give up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This every time I keep getting all jazzed up to do it, and I'm gonna do it, and then I hit this brick wall, and it's just like, this is the same thing I get every time, like, you know. And so it was just really great to hear that person actually say, I hate this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do this. I can't do it. Why should I be trying to do it? It just makes me feel bad. I always have to feel like a failure. I just don't want that feeling, that experience. I'm not a failure, but I keep feeling like one. Blah, 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 blah. But afterward, after doing that and listening to that and being open to actually hearing that experience and saying, yeah, that's really what's going on, there was like something different was left. something more whole was there to go ahead.
Process. Well, first of all, the seeing that there's something that gets shoved aside.
Yeah.
That just does it so deep and it's so old or so whatever bad that it just cannot get to see the light of day.
Yeah.
And then the ability or the willingness or the wherewithal to let that person talk on the recorder. Mm-hmm. So you pick up the tool that you know to use in these situations, the two-handed recording exercise. Well, first of all, just to stop and say, wow, to have that as a go-to place and to really go to it is huge in itself. But then to let her just really express what goes on for her, you know, and no, I'm not censored. And then to feel the expansive receiving, that openness, that, what would you say, compassion, that happened after really listening to what her life experience, that life experience is like.
As you reflected that, I'm realizing that it didn't happen quite that smoothly. So what happened was she started to talk, and then somebody came in and was talking for her.
Uh-huh.
And so then when I listened, the mentor came in and said, you know, I think maybe we ought to try a redo on that.
Uh-huh.
Don't you feel like somebody came in and gave kind of more of an intellectualized, intelligent description rather than allowing her to speak for herself? I was so taken by that because I just knew when I heard that, that's exactly what happened. Exactly what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, there's those three tracks, right? The one who's actually having the experience gets sort of sidelined, so that the one who can explain what her experience is gets to take over.
And make it more acceptable.
Yeah.
Make it kind of the okay, you know, practice person.
Right. Here's the Zen version of it.
Here's the good person version of it, you know.
And the mentor called that out.
Called it right out.
And you felt the significance of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then I just sat with it for a while and picked up the recording and let her talk. Mm-hmm. And that's when it came out. I hate this. I don't want to do this. It's like, oh, really? But I knew that was true. That was all there. And that's not the first time I've ever seen that kind of, you know, that is a real core.
And the heart-opening experience that you described a minute ago, was that in response to really hearing her?
Yes, really, really, yeah, allowing her to just say all that, because that to somebody, to some parts, that is not really acceptable. That's too scary to really consider that energy is there.
So to some karmic disposition, it can't take that in. But to the heart, no problem.
Right, right. The karma is I'm just seeing this. The karma of my upbringing was you will follow the rules. It doesn't matter what you think about them or what you're experiencing or what you, you know, feel about it. You just do it. That's the expectation. So that was that person, the person who is expected to do, just to do what is the quote-unquote right thing or the prescribed thing, was the one who was not comfortable with hearing that kind of strong statement of, no.
Yeah, I don't want to do it.
This is mean to me because I can't even do it. She believes that.
But the heart, what was that experience like?
The heart was, well, the heart felt really relieved that here it was really being said, instead of lurking about in the background, or, you know, with someone afraid to actually acknowledge it and actually And I felt, there was an energy of compassion for this person who's been feeling this for decades and not able to even say it. I mean, in a kind of milky, run, watered-down version, yes, like when the right person comes in to speak for her and tell what she's feeling, but not actually her saying in her own kind of strongly worded description of what it's like for her.
Yeah. And so the getting to feel both the compassion, the relief, mm-hmm. and there's nothing that's not acceptable. There's nothing that mm-hmm. that can't be expressed. Mm-hmm. Because the heart, you might say, is big enough to hold it all.
Right, and to feel that heart-opening compassion for her experience on this while, and to feel really sorry that that's been her experience, and wanting to provide another different opportunity for mm-hmm. her.
Also actually an experience of talking to the mentor. So I have this commitment with making a change for a good thing, mm-hmm. which is to make 2 recordings a day around what I see around this theme of trying to do it right. And usually there's one even before breakfast and the latest the second time by lunch or so. And then that the other day, I don't know, yesterday or Friday, I was on the lunch break then, and I'm like, wow, I didn't do any recordings today. And then I was like, just not seeing anything about that today. And then I'm like, oh, I should be seeing something about that today.
not seeing anything.
Exactly. That thing like, oh, you're not seeing anything, or there's nothing to see, nothing to record. That's like this alarm bell now. Maybe there's something to see. So I was like, okay, well, I can't think of anything right now. But let's just do a two-handed and let's see what's there to see. And so I just started talking about that. Uh-huh. That there had been any recordings and what the voice was saying about that and what they were saying about anyway, like, you know, present enough and not having the right monastery experience. Uh-huh. So that was again not being the right person, not having the right experience. Uh-huh. And then I listened back to it, and then like what I usually or often, what I often do with the two-handed thing, first like I just have the mentor reflected, and often that's all. Mm-hmm. Like. So there isn't any expectation that the mentor has to say anything mm-hmm. Good or wise okay. or whatever, yeah. So anyway, that whole looking at it, then there was the scene already, oh, there's the thing, like you're not having the right experience, mm-hmm. It's just like, ego again, like, oh, there's something lacking, right now it's presence and whatever, mm-hmm. So that's why you're not feeling great, and and I guess just, like, accepting that, that is the experience, that is what it's saying. Actually then just left me at this place of like also like yeah right experience. I don't know what the right experience is, you know, because the voices could actually say you're feeling so great and like lit up and wanting to do this this is wrong. Like, if you were, like, if this was the right thing, then, and you were going against ego, then the right experience would be a resistance. It's really, like, can be so twisted. So actually, there was this, like, you don't know what the right experience is or whatever. So basically, whatever experience you're having is the right experience for you to be having at this moment. And really, the point is to be, or become, or be aware of the experience that whatever I'm having.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was a very very, well, very good place to be, very relaxed and like, okay, so this
because
is
because you were, the awareness that was aware of whatever experience you were having. It sounds like, because the way you describe it, you were basically keeping your commitments and doing the recording and noticing everything that the voices were telling you. So it would comment on the fact that you hadn't noticed anything yet, first of all, today. And then you're probably not having the right monastery experience, because then if you were having them, you would feel this and then that. And so there's all this commentary going on. Meanwhile, there's Till, who's just sitting there, doing the exercise, listening to it, reflecting, and from what you described, having the awareness of everything that was going on, because you can lay it out this morning exactly what was being said. So there was the awareness that it was telling you, the voices were telling you, you weren't happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or when I oof or whatever into the mentor perspective, then it puts you in a place of awareness.
And when you moved it to the other hand to do the mentoring role of that and reflected or whatever, were you aware of the awareness? Could you feel it? Could you feel the movement?
I don't know. I mean, I can feel the relaxation. So I guess in that way, on the like the acceptance, so that I like qualities of awareness, then I guess I can feel that shift in that way. I wouldn't say like, oh, now I'm aware, but
Well, we sometimes use things like acceptance, relaxation as synonyms for presence or awareness. That can be that. It's the shift, the movement from I'm really not getting anything, I'm having the wrong experience, to a relaxed acceptance of whatever experience I'm having is the right experience, is that movement.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, then I guess I can feel it when it's happening.
And then, it sounds like it may come in to try to talk you out of realizing that you're feeling that it's happening. Just another way that it does.
Are you sure you're feeling it?
That's it. Are you sure you're feeling it? Well, how does it? And again, the conversation just latches on and sucks all the life out of it. But there you just caught it again. Is there more? Thank you.
I was also really grateful for the call with Canton London yesterday, and I was just really marveling at how it didn't feel like a call. It felt like we were sitting there with the team, and how at the end of the call, when they were waving, we were all waving.
When they were clapping, we were clapping.
And so, they couldn't see us, but we were all waving. And I was just looking at that as the experience of it, which is like sitting with the team and feeling like in that, connected with the heart, right? Mm-hmm. Connected with life. And in that waving, that's that expression of feeling connected to life in the form of these amazing people who couldn't see us, but it didn't matter because it was just like that feeling of being connected to life, like overflowing. And to be there in the presence of Teresa Capenda and feel that like connection to the heart, that connection to love and admiration and this is how I want to live, you know. And it was just, yeah, it was just,
yeah, no,
just amazing. This morning, like, just as I was walking up the path to building, an image of Teresa's smile came in, and it was like going to that place of connected with the heart and connected with how I want to live. And
that's such a good point, that there are those places or people or situations that take us there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that take us there so easily. To see Teresa's smile, to you know, just see all those wonderful, and feeling the heart be open and being expansive, and so that there is no self and other, even the extent that we're waving when we know they can't see us or whatever, it just doesn't matter because we're in that place.
Exactly.
And, you know, obviously, just take the obvious, that's what we're practicing accessing all the time.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Well, and you said it in a way, that's how I want to live.
So one of the experiences of the call was listening to a young woman whose name I think is Miriam, who is about to take her grade 12 exams, and you could just feel the life force in that girl coming through the screen, like the brightness, the intelligence, the aliveness, and it was like an experience of like moving to that place of mentoring. Like I would do anything to mentor and coach and support this person to be successful in her exams, to be successful in whatever she wants to do, to live the life that she wants to live.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that feeling of coming from a place of projecting inadequacy or fixing, but just that place.
A generous service.
Compassionate mentoring. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I would do anything to just sit with her and coach her and help her.
Yeah, can I just underline that? Because that feels really significant, those two different places. Not she's inadequate and needs me to help her.
Right.
That's not it.
No.
At all.
No.
But what was evoked in you was, you know, projecting the life force in her called forth this, I would do anything to support this person to have the life she wants.
Exactly. So last night I got to practice that with Anna. Mm-hmm. And there's a big spiritual opportunity that's up at the moment that's really like calling forth that. Mm-hmm. Really need to be here to support her. And was from that place of I would do anything, you know, sit with her, coach her. Did that like two-handed recording in that way, like with the mentor saying, "Anna, you're going to die. Everyone you love is going to die. How do you want to live?" Mm-hmm. Which is something that Sherry encourages us with over and over, like. Decide how you want to live. Make a recording of that. Listen to it and check in at the end of every day to that. Like, am I choosing this? Right? Get really clear about it. And I hadn't done it in that structured way before. It means a little bit more vague and susceptible to being lost. And so that was the getting clear and seeing what I really needed to do, to follow the guidance exactly as it's laid out, and just that clarity of, unless I do that, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
The
structure will save you in that way. So unless I do it, follow the guidance, do it as the structure is has been laid out.
Yes.
It's just not going to happen.
Right. That it's just that, like, it'll get taken over.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So and there'll be something that's really wrong to pull me into something, pull me away from how I'm choosing to live. And so how much support can I give her to stay in touch with how she wants to live? And so I did that, really took her through a guided imagery, like we would do it in a workshop, you know, bringing all attention to the breath and allow to arise in conscious compassionate awareness, how do you want to live? Mm-hmm. And let her then listen to that and record what dropped in. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, so how are we going to help her remember that? How are we going to support her to do that? And then do the same, allow to arise in conscious compassionate awareness, let her listen to that. And then, recorded the steps, the really concrete steps. Mm-hmm. And then this morning, started with them. And So just receiving all those gifts of the call yesterday, the sword over the head of this opportunity, in all these ways, like life saying, you're going to die, how do you want to live? Like, and offering these opportunities to actually feel that, like, this is how you want to live, in all those mirrors and those,
It just strikes me that exactly what you wanted to offer to Miriam,
yes,
you have the wherewithal, the opportunity, the tools,
yes,
the guidance,
yes,
the support, everything to offer it to Anna, and you took it.
Yeah.
And you're doing it.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of us that have all of those things, but we don't take it. We don't do it. And so to actually do it and to follow through is giving to Anna what you would want to give to Miriam.
Yes.
It is doing it.
Yeah.
So she gets that. She gets the benefit of that. I will do anything to support you to have the life you want.
Exactly. And in my hermitage last night, I was just so grateful for the opportunity to be at the monastery where, I get to be in solitude, in where there are no distractions, in my little hermitage, to have the chance to listen in closely, to go deeper. And of course that's possible anywhere, and just so grateful for this place.
It's possible anywhere in theory.
Right.
Yeah, but here you have it.
Not to be contesting about it, right? Mm-hmm. But just receiving the gift that's offered in that being a place where everything supports awakening.
And so falling into that gratitude of being in your hermitage, having everything you need to do that, and being so supported, and really taking that in.
Yeah.
Either one of you, throw an arm. Okay, Susan, we have 3 minutes.
That was so helpful. Uh-huh. But the thing, my image of how I feel lately is the smiling picture with like this leech attached to it. Uh-huh. Not the smile, but somewhere on the body. Like it's just. And like then I start looking at it, trying to get it off and make it go away so I can see a smiling picture instead of just gazing at the smile. Is sort of a state, I would say, that I notice myself.
And so what do you see about that process?
It's pretty foggy.
Let me reflect. So here's your lead. Look at this smiling face. But then you've got this leech on the body that is just a leech. Suck it. So there you're looking, you're trying to get it off, you're trying to get rid of it.
The potential could be just to look at the smiling picture, the smiling face.
Uh-huh.
But the leech is kind of, there's something about, or become the smiling face, and I don't, there's like a, the way I've been thinking about it is, somewhere between indulging and denial, and that ego wants me to be one of those places.
Uh-huh.
And so if there's awareness, that pendulum that swings through, like there we are in awareness, and then it takes one of those, and it either indulges, say, this person has been, let's take the husband, for 25 years I've been abused and haven't noticed, or, it would be something like that. would take, you know, him looking at me wrong and I've missed it all these years. You know, that would just be what he, just an example of what ego would do. And it is the example. You know, and then there's like this swing back to, and then you swing through and, oh, well, no, then there's a coming back to center. And, well, you know, he's really kind of cute. He just, you know, and then there's a swinging back to, okay, everything's fine. I don't want to, oh, it was like, I was looking when I was on retreat last week at that whole thing of communication. Uh-huh. And it just seems like that, that there's like a, you know, I'm either going to, it's just those two places.
You're either fixated on the leech or you're denying the leech and you're focused so completely on where I need to be is that happy face.
Yes.
And what you're talking about is that the middle place of, huh, I'm noticing this, I notice this other possibility, and how I want to communicate or live or where I want to have my attention that helps me live in that middle way or that place of facilitating what's actually here in this moment.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm.
So like he looks at me this way and I watch the whole story get it go up. Okay, there's the leech, right? Mm-hmm. I can either go with it, indulge it, or whatever, or I can say, okay, it would be kind of unlikely that I've been in this for 25 years and never noticed it, you know. But okay, so yeah, I'm a little suspicious of that story. And then, the pendulum swings maybe through center over to this other side of, no, it's all fine, it's, you know, in denial or whatever. And just knowing intuitively that there is a middle way, and it feels like, as you said, communication is sort of key to that.
Yeah, I think recording and listening first. I liked what someone was saying about letting myself record in the experience. All those things that, you know, that... and I was looking at it, and then I'll stop because I know we're out of time. I was looking at it in light of how we were talking about it when we first began, as far as... So the extreme heat.
Yeah.
What I noticed yesterday was that my head couldn't take it in because I was actually on a soccer field at 2 p.m. in Sacramento, and my gauge said 110. And I said to myself, I had to save my ego had to save me. It's not 110. The gauge is broken. They would call the gauge. She's only 10. You know, so, and then, then we're all making stories, all the moms. Well, you know, probably they'll shorten this or they'll do that or that. And they didn't. They didn't.
And they were all going, well, the moms seem fine.
Well, it was this surreal thing. Ego doesn't always know. I mean, like, and then there was the, you know, the drama that ego does, like, you know, I was getting ice and water and, like, splashing it on her. I'm fine, Mom, you know. Ego wants to, instead of just attend in the moment, hey, here's a cold rag and make sure you drink. And it wants to make a bit, you know, it wants to do one or the other. Oh, yeah, it can't be 110 because, you know, that we wouldn't be doing this. Mm-hmm. Or this whole, she's going to die of heat stroke, you know.
So and instead, just offering water.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And here at House again, driving along, make sure the air conditioner's on. Her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which sounds like exactly what happened.
It was a actually, mm-hmm. pretty much.
Which is good to notice.
Which is good to notice. Which is good to notice. It was just interesting how the brain does those things. You know, tries to.
Well, and getting back to what we were pointing out with Till, seeing how you were, the awareness was there of what the brain was doing. You know, there was an awareness of it all.
Yes. There are some sensations there simultaneously that I don't like. Mm-hmm. I notice.
And an awareness of that, or else you wouldn't be able to put it on right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, so staying in awareness. And what was that question that Sherry asks? How do I want to live?
Yeah. How do I want to live? She says that we're going to be alive for a very short time, we're going to be dead for a very long time, forever. So how do I want to live?
Okay. Great.
And just for the sake of the recorder, since we were referring to the Africa recordings, if people missed it, there are more. So to check the website and have opportunity to be better for everyone. Thank you all.